This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabacher at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation, please visit our website at cmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Burmese meditation master Dipa Ma said this: your mind is all stories. I read this a couple months ago, and it landed with me. It felt like it was helpful. It helped to kind of refocus my study of mind, of thought. Your mind is all stories. What does she mean? It is the nature of mind to create thought. We're told this, the teachings say this. I usually say this when I give instruction in Zazen. And I think we verify this for ourselves pretty quickly, right? The thoughts keep coming. The mind creates thoughts. And we're not trying to stop our thoughts. But we do need to address them. And we see this pretty quickly too, that if we're going to work with ourselves, if we're going to work with our mind, that means working with our thoughts. We see how much power our thoughts have. I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday who wanted to come in for residence, and he was saying he wants to reckon with himself. I liked that. If we want to reckon with ourselves, we have to reckon with our mind, reckon with our thoughts. From the very beginning, this is what we're doing, this is what we're studying in Zazen. The thoughts that pass through our mind, that occupy our mind, and starting to see the effects that these thoughts have, starting to study that. And seeing that it's workable. We can work with our thoughts. It's workable. Every thought is a story. A while back I was doing a hermitage, and one afternoon I woke up from a nap, and I was just lying on the little pallet that's up there in the hermitage, listening to the rain fall on the roof, just drop, 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 and seeing how I could just listen to the rain falling on the roof, and then how drop, 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 and a thought comes. It's like out of the mist, a shape comes, and it forms into a creature, starts to speak, starts to have a shape and a being. And then that can pass. Drop, drop, drop. And again, a thought arises, a story starts. Where do these thoughts come from? Where do they go when we let them pass? Every thought is a story. It's explaining our experience, understanding our experience, explaining it to ourselves. It is not the experience itself. So as soon as thought enters, as soon as thought begins, it's not our experience itself. As soon as a thought comes in, all of our conditioning, all of our history comes rushing in. The traditional teachings say that there is direct experience, and then within 1/72nd of a finger snap, thought comes in, conditioning comes in, all of our history comes in. So we can't see that. It's so quick, we don't see that that's happening, that that's always happening. Our mind is constantly talking, telling stories. Stories about ourselves, stories about other people. Stories about the past, about the future. Some stories are like one-sentence stories that we repeat over and over again. I was thinking we tell stories in all different genres. There's historical fiction. There's fantasy. There's adult fiction. There's utopian fiction, dystopian fiction, romance, drama, action. All with the same hero. Right? Same main character. Sometimes it seems like the story is about someone else, but then we are the writer and the director and the narrator, right? So who is it really about? And so why do we tell the stories that we tell to ourselves, that we tell to others? Why do we go back to these over and over again? What are we creating with these stories? And what if we stop telling these stories? If we let them go, if we don't engage them and give them energy, we don't continue to give them energy. What happens then? Who are we then? I've been looking at this. It's like this teaching helped me to kind of come fresh to the study, and particularly to see these stories that I tell in myself, that are old stories, familiar stories. And I feel like over and over through the years of my practice, these same stories are in there. They may be quieter, but there's this whisper. It's still whispering. It's still in there. Still having an effect. Still creating myself with these stories. Creating a feeling state in my body. Creating a way of being, of understanding myself, experiencing myself. Deepa Ma challenged her students to look at their stories. And so when someone would say, "I can't," she would say, "How do you know that? How do you know that?" And this kind of central, deep running stream, this story that we tell of who we are, it's always running, it's always burbling. Sometimes it's very quiet, sometimes it's running underground. It's just a trickle, but it's there. And sometimes we can't hear it. A lot of times we can't hear it. We can't hear what's happening. We can't hear the stories that we're telling. We can't hear our thoughts. And we have to want to hear them. And we have to get quiet enough to hear them. We have to really listen. There is a truth to these stories that we tell. There is truth, and they are just stories. It is a fiction, something we make up. And they color our life. They color everything, our whole experience constantly. Who are we without this story? So I've been kind of asking this myself. Are there stories that we should listen to and stories that we shouldn't? Which stories do we listen to? How do we listen to them? And always seeing in reckoning with myself the struggle that I create, I don't want to have these thoughts. I don't want that story anymore. A couple of people have talked to me recently about just the how much energy Zazen takes when you're new to sitting. And I remember that. I remember being here in residence and just being exhausted and realizing it was from Zazen. It wasn't the ditches that I was digging. It was from Zazen. Just struggling with my thoughts. And that changes over time. And I still struggle. And I see that that struggle is creating struggles, creating, that is not, that's creating struggle. So how do we be free with our thoughts? I don't think the thoughts ever go away completely. Right? So how do we be free with our thoughts? And so there are stories that we tell about ourselves, that we create ourselves with, and there are stories that we tell about others. That we create others with, create our view of others with. They carry all of our conditioning in them. So what are the stories that we were told growing up? That we absorbed from what we were living in. It's important to see the effect that these stories have on ourselves and that they have on others. They have that we affect others with, that come out in our actions and interactions. Shugen Roshi left this morning to go down to the temple in Brooklyn. There's a meeting with a number of the seniors and sort of coming together, a couple different groups in the Sangha that have been looking at bias, looking at power. And so there are many of the members of Sangha who are people of color are at that meeting. And this is a second meeting. We had a meeting up here a few months ago. And at that first meeting, we spent 2 or 3 hours going around the room sharing our stories, sharing the messages that we had grown up with around race. So were we told not to date someone from another race? Right? There were some specific, those explicit messages that we received, and looking at the implicit messages that we absorbed, but that reflecting back, that thinking back, we can see, yeah, I got that message, right? That was clear. And that in many cases, later in life, those messages were challenged by reality, challenged by meeting another person, challenged by a relationship. These stories, when we look at them, when they come out, when we say them or they're told to us, we might say, yeah, but I don't believe that. But we have to look closely. We have to really listen. Is that story still in us? Right? Is that still coloring our view, coloring our experience? And so this is the power of Zazen that gives us a way into hearing, to hearing what we're saying, to hear what we're telling ourselves, what we're repeating over and over. And this clear seeing is really important. Clear seeing. Because everything is workable, But we have to know what we're working with. What are we working with? Sometimes it's obvious because it just like dominates our experience. And it's like, how do we get some space from this so that I can work with it? And sometimes it's very quiet. We can assume that there is that quieter voice underneath that we may not be listening, that we are not hearing. That there's layers and layers and layers. So how do we be free with our thoughts? Live in harmony with our thoughts, not be dragged around by them. Myotai Sensei used to say, things are going, you just have to let them. Things are going. And so to learn for ourselves, things are moving. They're going, right? They're always moving. They're not fixed, they're impermanent. We just have to let them. Dogen Zenji's, one of my favorite pith teaching, paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, don't give it too much weight and don't ignore it. This applies to kind of everything. Right? So with our thoughts, they're empty, they're insubstantial, they're stories. Right? Don't give them too much weight. But you can't ignore them. Right? You can't push them away. That's not helpful. That's not skillful. The monastics, we've been studying together looking at the seven factors of enlightenment, which is a formulation, a way of looking at the path, understanding, practice. And something we were reading, Bhikkhu Bodhi says that the function of wisdom as an enlightenment factor is to discriminate between wholesome mental states and unwholesome mental states that become apparent with the deepening of mindfulness. And so wisdom, simply as when we pay attention to our thoughts, we start to be able to discriminate, to see, to tell which thoughts are wholesome, are skillful, are helpful, and which thoughts are not. Which mental states are wholesome, are skillful, should be cultivated, and which should not be. To learn what is skillful and what is not, what is liberating, and what is binding, what is kind of keeping us stuck. How do we want to use our mind? How do we want to train our mind? Right? Because we are actually training our mind all the time. Right? So whatever we're doing with our mind, we're reinforcing that habit. We're giving that energy. We're fueling that. And so are we reinforcing habits or deepening those ruts? Or are we letting go? Loosening, opening, softening. I was remembering in college, driving back or sort of starting off on a, we were driving back from South Carolina, I think. Been down there for a frisbee tournament. Van full of guys. I was driving. There was another guy who was going to stay awake for me, with me. We were going to drive all night. And one of the guys in the back said, you know, I can't decide whether to fall asleep thinking about sports or sex. And I think about that because think about that. Right? What do you fall asleep thinking of? Right? What is the thought that gives you comfort, the line of thought that gives you comfort, that you come back to, that you strengthen? Each time we tell it, we're strengthening it. That habit, that coming back to. And And we can live our whole life in a story, telling stories. Who are we telling the stories to? Do we find satisfaction in these stories? We do find some pleasure, comfort. Joseph Goldstein says that we should pay attention to how it feels when we come out of a fantasy. And so you come to the end of the period, the bell rings, and you realize that you were off in a story. Just to notice, how does that feel? Right? Not the judgment, not the self-criticism, just in your body, mind, how does that feel? To notice that. Those of us who do Seishin, we get to notice that over and over and over again. The most compelling stories, do they give us satisfaction? They have no substance. They're not connected to experience. And to look at, well, what are we actually trying to do in those fantasies, in those stories? Right? What do we think we're going to find? What are we trying to find? What are we looking for? I was at Greenhaven Prison earlier this week, and one of the guys asked about he sees that he's learned through doing Zazen that there are times when he can kind of leave in his mind, kind of use Zazen to tune out, to escape where he is. And he asked, is this frowned upon? Right? He was asking, what do I do with my mind? And that's a good question, right? The question then is, how do we want to live? Right? Felt like they make it so real and immediate sometimes for me. And I want to be able to respond, to help. He was saying specific, you know, his example was that he's waiting for a medical trip, which I think means, you know, they're taking him to the hospital. He's shackled because he's going to be leaving the facility, and he's waiting. I'm sure that they don't ask him if he wants something to read. He's just sitting there waiting for the guards to take him, sometimes for a long time. So how to use his mind, who's asking, what do I do with my mind? We can get lost in the kind of complications and comforts of our life, but wherever we are, that's where our life is happening. Right now. And we do have a choice. We are practicing to live, and we're living right now. Part of what I said to him, as I was remembering, and quite a few years ago, I hurt my eye and spent the night in the emergency room and was in a fair amount of pain, and realized that I had actually learned in Seishin, which was so painful for me for so long, that I had learned to kind of turn in and numb out and kind of check out and kind of take the edge off of the pain. And I saw in the emergency room that I was doing that. I sort of saw it clearly. And it was kind of a turning point because I realized that that's what I had been cultivating in all of those hours of sitting. Was actually checking out, was numbing out. And that was not what I wanted to be cultivating. And so this is a live question for me, seeing the thoughts that occupy my mind. Is that what I want to be occupying my life with, to be giving my energy to? Often the answer is no. So how do I work with that then? And I wanted to say just a little bit about Deepa Ma. I feel like her, I found a slim volume that someone was giving away about her. It's just kind of a short biography and some teachings that her students remember. It seems that not much was recorded of her actual teachings. But this very real, immediate, simple, it is right now, comes through in her teaching. She experienced much suffering in her life. And then when she was able to turn her attention towards practice, she saw through. She really saw through clearly. Someone asked her what it was like in her mind. And she said, "In my mind, there are three things. Concentration, loving kindness, and peace." The student that asked her said, "Excuse me?" "Really?" And she said, "Yes, that's all." She was supposed to be, apparently was able to walk through walls, talk to beings in other realms. But her teaching, many of her students were like her, homemakers in Calcutta who were living in very simple and modest circumstances, who had busy lives, and she said, "That doesn't matter, right? That's where you practice. That's where your life is." So your mind is all stories. And there is the mind that when there is no story, there is just sitting, just listening, just your feet on the floor, just feeling sad. The mind is naturally clear and bright. It is vast. What is mind?
Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about the monastery's programs, weekend retreats, and residency, please visit our website at cmm.mro.org.